here's the beautiful thing about it. You can develop an internal motivation. You can develop an internal drive.
Winning habits, winning routines, and a winning mindset.
You're the main character of your own life story.
Welcome to the Susan Sly Project, where entrepreneurs rule, startups launch, and the side hustle becomes the main hustle. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Susan Sly.
Hey there. I hope wherever you are in the world right now, you're having an amazing day. I want to acknowledge you for tuning into this episode of the Susan Sly Project. And good news, we're now, I think, in 100 plus countries. So way to go. And today's episode is really going to be focused on mindset. And when we do mindset episodes and we bring in incredible experts like my guest today, these are the ones you all give the most comments, the most shares. That's something that is so important to all of you. And it's amazing that you're here. My guest today, he has been on, are you ready for this? Fox News, CNBC, CNN. He is the author of 7 books, including the new book, One Belief Away. We're going to talk about that in a moment. He has done TED Talks. He's absolutely incredible. And prior to this, I got to meet his amazing, amazing son. And you know that really, it's said that if you want to know the roots, take a look at the fruits. And I have to say, his son is absolutely amazing. So my guest today has also done 15,000 hypnotherapy sessions. That's crazy. And he works with companies to help them streamline their productivity and their profits. So with that, my guest today is Tim Scher. Tim, it's great to have you here.
Oh, Susan, it's such an honor and a privilege to be on your show. Thank you so much.
Well, Tim, I want to jump right in. Yeah, okay. There are people in one of three buckets right now as they're listening. So they're like on fire right now and their business is thriving, or the other bucket is they have a little bit of success, then they pull back. Or the third group of people are really, really struggling right now. And maybe they're internalizing what's going on in the world, or they're just really having a rough time. I want to jump in with the first question. If someone is in the second or third group and they're really struggling with their belief, this is your area of genius, what advice would you give them?
Well, I would ask you to slow down, pause, which is hard to do for entrepreneurs, leaders, business professionals, high achievers, because we love to charge forward. We love momentum. The idea of being stuck or not making progress makes us just ugh, right? Because we like to conquer. We like to add value. And if we are feeling stuck in any way, or if your business is really crushing it and you don't have any life balance, or you feel like you cannot stop what you've built, you can't get off the hamster wheel because it might implode and collapse. Wherever you're at, there's a belief that's driving it. You know, I'm obsessed with human behavior. I've been studying us humans for 32 years. I facilitated, like you said, 15,000 hypnosis sessions, coaching sessions, getting into people's unconscious minds. And what I found is what keeps us stuck is a belief, and a belief that was often formed in childhood. A lot of times when we have these adult problems, we don't think that something that happened to us when we were a kid is affecting us. It is. And so it causes us to not trust others. It causes us to have a hard time to delegating. You know, it has, I have a hard time even saying that word. You know, we have, and then of course, all the anxiety, all the angst. You know, entrepreneurs don't like to think that we're scared. We don't like to think that we're too stressed. You know, that we like to feel like we're tough and we're powerful and we're warriors and we can conquer anything. But the truth is that a lot of the reasons why we drive so hard is because of that anxiety. It's because of that desire to want to prove ourselves. And if you ever find that no matter what you accomplish, it never feels like it's enough, or you're sitting there sometimes with all the success thinking, is that all there is? You know, it's because there's a belief that's driving that. And so step one, and no matter where you're at, if you ever start to feel uncomfortable, pause, ask yourself this one question, you know, what am I feeling right now? What would I have to believe in order to feel this way? If I'm feeling stressed, if I'm feeling scared, if I'm feeling overwhelmed, if I'm feeling pressured, what would I have to believe in order to feel this? And you keep asking that same question, Susan, over and over. Well, what would I have to believe then? What would I have to believe then? Until you distill it down into, well, I'm afraid that it's not going to work out, or I'm afraid that I'm not going to know what to do, or that I'm not going to know how to lead these people, or, and, you know, and then our worries come up, our imposter syndrome, our feeling like a fraud, you know, looking like you're killing it on the outside, but feeling killed on the inside. It all comes down to your beliefs.
Tim, that I love that you shared this whole concept of pausing, which entrepreneurs don't want to do. They don't want to take that time and go into that self-reflection because there's a limiting belief below that, right? Like if I stop, oh my gosh, something's going to break or someone's going to be upset or someone's going to need me or whatever. We see this with parents too, especially of young children. It's like, oh, you know, I've met so many women as an example who don't even want to take an afternoon off and go for a massage because they haven't left their children, right? But I want to, you know, thinking very deeply about these beliefs that create the programs that run our lives, what are some of the top limiting beliefs that you have found with the different executives that you've worked with?
Well, some of the top beliefs that are really frustrating is I don't have enough time to get my own stuff done, let alone train everybody else. This was really strong. I was working with the highest performing teams, and so many of the leaders felt like I can barely keep up with my own stuff. And yet I'm supposed to develop these people and emotionally train them and provide all this leadership training and everything. And what it was doing was making them feel more guilty. And I remember I was working with a guy and he would run through, they had a big warehouse where they were manufacturing equipment, and he would run through trying to get from one end of the building to the other without looking at anybody, because he was afraid that if he looked at anybody and made eye contact, that they are going to want to have a conversation or say hi. And he felt so time pressured that he wasn't doing that. Well, what message do you think it was sending to the people that he was supposed to be leading, right? You don't have time for me. You don't care. That causes disengagement. It causes gossip. It causes negativity. People are spending more time complaining instead of doing their work. Those are the issues that sabotage people more than and companies as a whole. We think that, well, if we have pizza parties on Friday, you know, and if we, you know, talk about our culture all the time, that's really, if we had a new sales strategy and more technology, that's going to be what really gives us our competitive edge. But it isn't. It's upgrading the beliefs of leaders. So not feeling like they had enough time. Then COVID comes in and now we have this remote workforce. Now everybody's meeting on Zoom and having Zoom exhaustion because somebody wrote a newsletter that said that you should be checking in with every single person, you know, twice a week on Zoom just to see how they're doing, to keep rapport. And that makes everybody that's in a high value position going, I can't do that. Yeah. I'd be on Zoom 24 hours a day. And so we get these ideas that that I don't have enough time and I am overwhelmed. I have too much to do and not enough time to do it. The other belief that I find that sabotages people is this idea that it's a badge of honor that I'm going to be a silverback ape and I'm going to beat my chest and I don't need to sleep. It's cool if I only sleep 2 hours a day, right? Because I care, because I'm passionate. So I don't need to sleep. I don't need anybody's help because I'm smart and I can't show any kind of weakness. So I'm not going to ask for help. Because, you know, it'll take too long and you can't really trust people anyway. Belief, right? And that, you know, if I do this, somebody's going to drop the ball. If I want it done, I got to do it myself, or someone's going to steal my thunder, right? And these beliefs are coming from high achieving people, but it comes from fear, you know, false evidence appearing real. So it's always the same. Not enough time. I can't delegate if I do it on my own, if I don't do it on my own, I could get hurt, you know, something bad could happen, you know, and then the last one, which is the biggest fear, which is where all the other fears and bad habits come from, you know, the fear of rejection, the fear of success, the fear of abandonment, the fear of humiliation, the fear of trusting people, the fear of rejection, the fear of public speaking, right? All of those fears come down to this one essential, you know, foundational fear that I'm not enough. And I find that that is the reason why human beings have insecurity. That is the reason why we have insecurity, because we have this fear that I'm not going to be enough. I'm not going to measure up. And that's what drives all the other pressures that we see.
Yeah. It's interesting too how it shows up, Right. So you see that the pendulum is, so the person who thinks they don't have enough time, they tend to be the biggest time wasters. Then the people who think, oh, I have to do it myself, they tend to also, I have found in my experience, and hey, to everyone, we're all going to have these beliefs at different times, right? Even the most consciously competent people, it's going to happen that like, oh, if it's meant to be, it's up to me. I used to say when I was younger, I'll sleep when I'm dead. And then I gave myself multiple sclerosis and I almost died. I was told I would be dead in 20 years when I was 27 years old, and I'm not dead. And I'm 48. So you're not all hallucinating. Someone asked me, Mindy Stern, I was on Glenn and Mindy Stern's show, and Mindy's like, are you a robot? You get so much done. But, you know, I used to have that belief, Tim, that, you know, I'll sleep when I'm dead. And that nearly killed me. It did. And the third one, I'm not enough. I've had that one too. And I think we all go through those crises at times. Yeah. It's the choice to dwell in it or not. Now I want to ask you, we see people who are completely dysfunctional, who become successful. Mm-hmm. Then we see people who are very competent, but they aren't confident and they don't become successful. In experience working with teams and leaders, what would you say differentiates between someone who makes it and someone who doesn't? Because I think, you know, as an expert, a global expert in, you know, in the humanness of people, I always love to ask this question of people like yourself, because the answers tend to be very similar.
Yeah, that's a very powerful question. You know, they say the solution is easy. It's asking the right question. And that is a brilliant question. So, you know, some people are, so I'm thinking of the leaders who were really fulfilled and helped other people feel fulfilled and created a work environment that people, you know, they didn't have a turnover. I mean, they stayed, they were lifers in this company because they loved the culture that was created. And then I think of other leaders that I've worked with who were uber successful, but they're, oh my goodness, the turnover was 50% and people were stressed out and having to take medical leave because of stress, because of their leaders, right? And their leaders seemed oblivious. They're like, well, that's how it is. You know, I'm the money man, you know, that's how this, you know, I can't let go of this mojo. This is what's made me rich, you know, and that mentality. And so some people are just so driven that they'll do whatever it takes, you know, mm-hmm. and that incompetence when you go and you're like, how is this company running? Right? Or they have all these medals and awards, you know, all these fancy glass sculptures of their culture. And I go in there, I'm in there for 10 minutes. I'm like, you bought those yourself, because nobody in here is happy, you know? And so, so there are some people who are able to work really, really hard and step on other people and do whatever it takes, and they don't care. And they're going to rise to the top financially. You know, but at the same time, they're not happy people, and they're not building other leaders around them, and they're not creating a force where if something happened to them, their company would continue to thrive, because it's very ego driven. And that is, it's difficult. It's hard to sustain when you're doing that. On the other side of it, there are people that are incredibly talented, incredibly smart, incredibly gifted, and yet they're not attaining the kind of success that they desire. And there's usually two reasons for that. One, the big one is the limiting beliefs. And that's the hardest one for people to accept, because they're like, I've been going to all the Tony Robbins conferences. I've been doing personal development for 25 years. Do not tell me that it's another belief. I'm telling you it is. It's a belief. It's a blind spot that you have. I was stuck in an area the other day, and I had a friend that I was going to, and he's like, you know, you keep speaking as though that what's coming out of your mouth is truth, and it's just opinions and beliefs. And I was like, oh, no, that can't be it. I just wrote the book, One Belief Away. It can't be that I have these blind spots. So we all have them, right? So beliefs. The other part is people just don't know what to do next. There's too much advice. There's too many gurus. There's too many people that say you have to learn everything. You got to be a copywriter. You got to be a Facebook ad expert. You've got to be able to produce, you know, funnels. And we spend so much time working and putting this stuff together, and it doesn't produce any money. And then it just makes us not want to do it again. And then we drag our feet, or we get 90% there, and then we never pull the trigger because we're afraid that people are going to find out, I really don't know what I'm talking about. And so the fear of being a fraud, the fear of not knowing what to do next, the fear of trying really hard and it just doesn't work out, and then having to deal with that kind of disappointment or feeling like, my, I really must be a loser. You know, that is like a gut punch. So when I wrote this book, One Belief Way, with Joe Vitale, I asked him to help me finish that book because we had this quick conversation. I said, Joe, I was feeling a little sorry for myself. I said, Joe, are some people just luckier than others? And he said, Tim, I hate to answer that question because there's so much victimhood in it. And I was like, oh no, there's no way that I'm acting like a victim again. No, no, right? I'll own it. I can handle it. I'm tough. But I was still coming from that place. And then the second thing he said was, if there are lucky people in this world, let's assume there are, why don't you choose to be one of them?
Exactly.
And I was like, that's amazing. So I started choosing to think of myself as being lucky. And then I started coming from that position. And that's really what you do. Once you identify what's the fear that you really have, then you ask yourself, what would you rather believe instead? What would you want to believe? If you could have anything, if you could be anyway, what would you want it to be? You know, and then try to get as detailed as possible. Well, I'd have more time. I'd have more quality life. I'd have more life balance. I'd have more money. My health would be better. That is too vague. Your brain doesn't know how to act on that, so it doesn't. Mm-hmm. The more specific you are, the more your mind says, oh, I know how to attain that, and these are the steps that I'm going to start taking to get there. So I started coming from a position of boldness. I started imagining that I'm the luckiest guy around, and whatever I ask for works out. And it started happening that way. It's how I built the Legend Summits, where I talked the greatest speakers in the world into hanging out with me for a couple of days and having these conversations. And I got Brian Tracy and Bob Proctor and Les Brown and Dennis Waitley and Dr. John DeMartini. I mean, you name it, these incredible people. And we'll have another one, and we're going to have Susan Sly on it. I'm so excited for that one, right? The best people in the world. And they all said yes. And it was because I got over that belief that, you know, I wasn't lucky and people wouldn't want to hang out with me. And why would these successful people want to talk to me? I got over that. And it's like the doors poured open. So if I can do it, anybody can. And that's really the message that I want to make sure that everybody's hearing today.
That is so powerful, Tim. And, you know, thinking back to Joe, you know, in the Secret, and I know, I've done speaking events with, John Assaraf and, you know, John Gray and Jack Canfield and all these guys, right?
Yes.
And Joe, you know, Joe, of all of them, Joe really, really struck me and had a profound effect, because some people might be watching or listening and say, that's so simple, but it's effective. And sometimes we ignore the simplest things that are the most effective. You know, someone wants to lose weight. Oh, here's a radical idea. Let's exercise. Let's eat less. Maybe do some intermittent fasting, because that's what the human body is designed to do.
Yeah.
Throw in the odd detox and yeah, you'll probably lose some weight, right? Like, hello. It's the same thing here. Identifying that belief and then looking at it and going, what's the belief below the belief? And having the understanding that we may spend our entire lifetime unpacking the beliefs, but it just because we're doing that doesn't mean it's our full-time job. I've seen people do the extreme where they're on a career trajectory and it's like pulling the thread on the sweater, and they realize that there's a limiting belief. And so they drop out of their entire life and just go do personal development. That's all well and good, but they rarely have I ever seen anyone come back from that and actually produce anything, because ultimately what ends up happening, and you know this better than anyone, is people look in the mirror and they're like, all they see is what's wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
So the advice I want to throw in, Tim and I share a very similar background, NLP training, all of these things. And this is why this is, I think, is, you know, if you, you know, whoever you're thinking of right now, as you're watching, listening, share this, share it on social, tag Tim, tag myself. The piece around this, Tim, is that we deal with the belief, we replace the belief, life begins to change. The next part is what no one talks about, and I love that you do. People begin to freak out, and you already alluded to this. So Tim is suddenly, you know, Dennis Waitley and Bob Proctor, I know Bob, like, you know, all these people are like, yes, But Tim didn't freak out and self-sabotage. So many people go into self-sabotage. I know, as an example, I know someone building a business, building an Instagram influencer thing, you know, getting some traction. And she had other things going on in her life, but she allowed those things to sabotage what was actually working. Can you talk about self-sabotage?
Oh, yeah. You said so many beautiful things. I love it. The belief behind, or the belief underneath the belief. You know, that's why you keep asking yourself the same question, because the truth is simple, right? But we complicate it. And when we start digging around, the emotions can be very intense. You know, we've all experienced big T and little T traumas. And to be able to go back to some of that is often so painful that people don't want to. Self-sabotage comes from the idea that you are operating from a belief that's holding you back. So if you have a belief that things never work out for you, or if you have a belief that you're not worthy of taking care of yourself, or you don't deserve to be happy, you'll never take the time to lose the weight, or you'll make a bunch of money and then find a way to get rid of it because you don't deserve to be happy. So, and then people will say, well, you don't know what I've been through. I mean, this belief obviously is true. It's a fact because look at my life. Well, actually, it's not that your situations have created this belief. It's that the belief that you had when you were little caused you to act in a way that created these experiences. So it's not that you have all this evidence that, yeah, you're not good enough. No, you have a bunch of false evidence based on a false belief. And what we've got to do is go back and upgrade that belief. It's not what you experience. It's what you tell yourself about it. It's how you interpret it. It's what you think that experience means. Does it make you a victim or a victor? And some people use that with a chip on their shoulder and they're like, I'll show you, I'm going to conquer the world, right? And it gets them really far, but then they have problems in their marriage. They have problems with their kids. They have problems with addictions or bad habits because that self-sabotage is still in there and it's not being addressed. You can have, you know, a big house and a bunch of money and all these people thinking you're amazing. And then on the inside though, you're still feeling stressed. You can't relax. You have a hard time letting people in. You're not really ever enjoying what you have. You never smile. You're always looking stressed or angry. It's like, you've got $50 million. Why are you so mad? Right? And it's because my dad never loved me. You know, and then that, what does that mean? That means that I must not be worthy of being loved. Right? So inherently, I'm bad. And so when you're operating from a belief like that, and here's the deal, these beliefs are unconscious. It's out of our awareness. We don't know that's happening, right? It's a blind spot. A blind spot means you don't see it, right? And that's one of the biggest challenges with our beliefs, our blind spots, our unconscious biases is that, you know, they're not right in front of us. They're somewhere locked in our mind. And if you don't sit still and ask yourself these questions or get some help, and go through a process, then, I mean, I think that eventually every one of your listeners will figure it out because that's just who they are. They're very talented, amazing human beings. But it's about collapsing timeframes. You can take the next 5 years to figure it out, or we can figure it out in the next couple of days, you know, or a couple of weeks, you know, using the strategies. And I don't know about you, but I like to save that time so that we can live our best life now.
Absolutely. And that's why your work is so important. And I want to encourage everyone. One thing I know about our listeners and viewers, they love to read books. And so, you know, when Mark Victor Hansen's here, they buy his book, Tim's book, One Belief Away. Everyone needs to get that. I just want to share, as you know, we could have, you know, a 5-hour conversation. The piece around beliefs too, that I want everyone to understand is, one limiting belief can actually fuel us to getting to a certain level. But when your business flatlines, it means that it's time to replace that belief. And I'll share very candidly a story. So I operated from a place for a long time, Tim, that I'm not enough. So that's how I ended up doing the Ironman with a fractured pelvis to prove how enough I was, running 6 Boston marathons, like, all, wow, you know, building 3 award-winning sales teams, you know, and it wasn't a look at me. What was driving it under the surface was, I'm not enough. So I have to actually prove to myself that I am enough. Yeah. And that got me to a point where finally in my mid 40s, where things were really stuck for me and flatlining, I had to look in the mirror and say, you know what, that belief, I thanked it. And I actually journaled on this. I was like, I'm so grateful I had this belief and it got me to this point. It's time to replace the belief. And so I did. And I replaced the belief and shifted the belief. And I really took on a belief that I am a very curious person. And I know curiosity, Dr. Diane Hamilton is a close friend of mine. She wrote a book called The Curiosity Code and talking about using curiosity for good. So the moment I shifted into curiosity, it was amazing how things happened because I had been in a place of condemning myself. And so replacing, you know, condemnation with curiosity. So I was like, I'm very curious about who I am as a woman and who I'm growing into and what I want to learn and be and so on. So it shifted. And then, you know, that's how I came back into technology. So it's, you know, it's amazing how this shows up for us. Final question for you.
Okay.
So a lot of people could write one book and be, I'm good. A lot of people write two books, they're good. So you wrote five and this is book number six. I don't care what stage anyone is at right now in their business. This work is so important because if you're stuck, you have some stinking thinking and Tim's book could help. Tim, in a quick synopsis, tell us about the book. What is someone going to get when they buy the book?
So this book helps us overcome achiever syndrome, which is what you were describing, where we're achieving, but it's coming from secret anxiety instead of from chasing pleasure and curiosity. Mm-hmm. And so it also teaches people the exact formula for how to identify their biggest belief that's getting in the way, how to upgrade that, and then condition themselves so that they are coming from a place of purpose and living from a place of vision instead of coming from stress, fear, and self-sabotage. So it also is an incredible resource for anybody who has felt like their heart had been broken into a million pieces. My specialty was helping people with post-traumatic stress, whether it was people who were kidnapped or tortured or abused in a variety of ways, or veterans coming back from wars. And I know the exact strategy from thousands of sessions over so many years. And I learned the exact formula. This is what you do that allows you to take your power back. This is what you do to take that little piece of us that we feel like we lose when we go through those experiences and reclaim it and bring it back in. And it allows you to triumph over that fear and live with purpose and live in a way that makes you feel happy and grateful every day.
Beautiful. Well, I'm ordering the book and I'm a woman of my word. So I'm ordering it. And I just want to encourage all of you, if you have feedback for the show, if you're on YouTube, I'm the one who actually responds to you. It's not an assistant. If you're on iTunes or Spotify, Tim and I would love a 5-star review. Please share this on your social, as I said, and tag us. This work is so important. The vision of the show is to inspire people all over the world to start and grow and scale businesses, because my personal belief that there isn't a challenge we're facing right now globally that can't be solved by entrepreneurs. So with that, Tim, thanks for being here. It's great to have you.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. Thank you so much for everything that you do, Susan. You are amazing.
Well, thank you. All right, everyone. This has been another episode of the Susan Slide Project. And go back and listen to some previous episodes. I think they're pretty darn amazing. And I will see you on a future episode. Goodbye, everyone.
To find out more about Susan or hire her to speak, go to www.susansly.com. You can also find Susan on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.